Well, somewhere back in the sermon training, they always said to start with something that'll pique people's interest. And I was going to do with something else, but I just had the genius insight to tell you that this is going to be another short sermon. I can't imagine. That's 2 weeks in a row, so you're welcome. Now, since we have folks sharing later in the service and communion, it made sense not to keep you here until mid-afternoon. That was a long, long scripture reading, but I'm actually just going to talk about one verse primarily from that. Today, as I said earlier in the service, we're going to focus on that core theme of steward, which is taking care of what God has entrusted to us. The scripture says, all the earth is the Lord's and everything therein. And God has entrusted to us gifts, like Christy was talking about, financial resources, time, all manner of things. And they are given to us for a time that we might serve the Lord with them in our earthly life. And so that theme we're going to look at a little bit this morning and at a particular part of that. I'm also just going to talk about the one verse and really by way of illustrating something in my own life, which I'm a little embarrassed about. So there's the second thing that can pique your interest. Short and Robert is embarrassed. I'm going to start with the passage with a gardening analogy. Paul really seemed to like gardening analogies. If you'll remember the last couple of weeks, we've been stuck on that. And it occurred to me, I mean, I have really never spent any time in a garden in my life until the last few weeks. And somehow, work day, I ended up down in the garden with Christy and Clay and the youth cleaning weeds. And maybe God's trying to tell me something with the gardening analogies and the time in the garden. But if you'll remember 2 weeks ago, also in Corinthians, Paul was describing his work in Corinth. And he said, I planted the seed. Apollos, another pastor worker, he watered the garden, but God caused the growth. God did the miraculous work, and we've talked a little bit about that. So that's the verse up there, the one on top that I'm focused on. The one who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. The Message, which is a particular translation that we read from time to time, this is how it translated that same verse. It says, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. Now, you might critique the lavish planter for being wasteful, but there's something about that image that Paul thought was important to understanding the kingdom of God. So that's the challenge and the image he puts before us, is to be lavish planters, bountiful planters of God's word and God's kingdom. So for Paul, when it comes to the kingdom of God, he says, go all in. Give abundantly and generously. Don't ration out your giving to God like it's your very last seed, right? What we plant will come back to us for the glory of God and be multiplied out even more. So here's the embarrassing point. I want to give you a specific example of this principle at play. I remember a session meeting, it's very early on, probably the first year that I was here, and I was going over the budget with the finance committee people and the finance elder. And that elder, who was a banker, complimented me on how well, for a pastor, I seemed to understand numbers and budgets. And I said something like, well, my dad was a banker after all. Hey, Dad, I know you're watching too. Thank you. Grudgingly, thank you. Yes. But when we got to a crunch time, when funds were getting a little tight, I was paying a lot of attention to the budget and to the numbers. And I got a little stressed by that. And I remember wanting to be, you know, a good leader and say, well, we may need to make some tough choices, right? We're not going to get up to the level that we thought, and so we're going to need to do some tough things. Also during that first year, at the session meeting, and I think this was in the context of hiring Kathy Youngblood, but they were telling me about years before that, when the session really took a leap of faith in the congregation with them to hire our first full-time youth director. And it was not something that was made sense with the income we had or the budget that we had, but the session felt like God wanted us to prioritize the youth ministry and the young people of our church, and they stretched to hire that person. So that was in my head as well. So when I got to that first kind of financial stressful time, I put on my businessman hat, because after all, that's what my dad trained me to do. As long as I'm mentioning him, and he's across the virtual network and can't say anything back, he used to make me do presentations to him about, you know, if I wanted a new bike, I had to present to him why that would be financially feasible to, and how I would raise the money. So I was, yeah, it's all part of my upbringing, which, again, I'm grudgingly thankful for. So we came to that financial crunch, right? And I put on my businessman hat, and I was worried. So we were a little bit low. What then surprised me was one of our elders happened to be the finance elder, who I thought of as a, you know, very successful business person. I pegged him as a numbers person. He gave spiritual counsel to the session and to me and said something along the lines of, God has met us before when we stretched out in faith and was faithful to us. Why would he not be again? After all, we are in the Lord's business. And that scenario has played out many times over the years where I guess I'm supposed to be the spiritual guy, right? I'm the pastor, and I've come in overly concerned about the numbers, and our elders, we are blessed with the elders that we've had over the years, and they rotate, but they're the ones that you elect. They trust in God's provision, right? So even if I'm just stuck in my business hat, time and time again, they've said, but how will we trust the Lord in this? And that's one of the geniuses of having pastors and elders in the same church, so we can remind each other of what God has done. So one thing I take away from that, and I put it up on the screen, is that spreadsheet math is not the same as God's math. If you want that in scripture version, it was in our call to worship today, right? My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Loosely translated, God's math is not human math. And that's something this pastor needs to be reminded about from time to time. We are not just a faith-based business. We're not just a nonprofit. We are part of God's kingdom work. And so there is more to the calculation, more to the challenge than just making the numbers add up at the end of the day. And that's the challenge that I think this passage from 2 Corinthians puts before us, because it says when we sow lavishly, when we sow bountifully, we will reap bountifully. It goes on a few verses later in verse 8, and I'm going to read the Message translation of that again. It says, God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that we are ready for anything and everything. I mean, what a good, challenging word that is. So looking ahead, where's God leading us? We've been trying to share some of that vision over the last several months. The session, the deacons, the staff believe that God is focusing us in these areas of growing, serving, caring, and stewarding, all for God's glory out in the world. Some examples of that, we've been blessed through these COVID months, 18 months or so, by the deacons and the care ministry. Many of you have commented about how well you have been reached out to and connected with from our deacons. We have again invested in our youth and our children's ministry, and we're seeing the fruit of that with Christie's ministry and the sustained participation of our youth, and they're bringing friends, right? God is blessing that and growing that. And after a long season of COVID, we have already begun reconnecting with our neighbors, serving our neighborhood, and trying to live out that commandment to love your neighbor, to care for your neighbor. And you have been hearing stories, and you're going to hear some more today and next week about why folks are still choosing and connecting with Good Shepherd as a place where God shows up faithfully. I want you to hear that. I believe it with my whole heart. God shows up faithfully here, and I'm thankful for that. In the words of that message translation of verse 8, God is already pouring on the blessings. So will we sow and reap lavishly, bountifully? I have been astonished again and again in the years that I've been here, and I fully believe I will be again. Amen.